Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Our growers are now farming a very different geographical range than what we've historically seen them doing, and they're continuing to expand. So how do we think more around not the asset, but a hub and spoke?
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. With 2.4 million ag jobs to fill a year, every year in U.S. agriculture, and an unemployment rate that still remains below 5%, leaders in ag bioscience and farmers are facing a challenge like the rest of the economy. They're in a battle for talent. One unique ally in agriculture is the cooperative system, a collective buying group and service provider network that's serving American farmers and has evolved from what it was to what it is. One of the leaders leading that evolution, who has led the evolution, joins us now. Welcome, Phil Brewer, Vice President of Strategy at Keystone Cooperative. Phil, it's a delight to have you on Ag Bioscience.
It's great to be here, Mitch, and looking forward to the conversation.
Phil, you have spent a career in the cooperative system, working with farmers all across the Midwest. Keystone's grown to really a juggernaut in terms of the cooperative system. I think the great place for us to start, though, is let's level set. As you're working with farmers across Kentucky, Indiana, Michigan, here in the Midwest, heading into the planting season, what's on the minds of farmers? What's the current health of the American farmer?
I've thought about that, and we've had a lot of conversations internally, and obviously I'll regionalize it to the area that we've talked about. So going into last year's harvest, there was probably a very different feel than where we are today. And I would preference that to say through the mid-February timeframe. So I would say it and sum it up as cautiously optimistic and healthier than we had anticipated. The optimistic part of that is, as you go back to that harvest time, we've seen up to a 25% increase in corn pricing. We've seen the reconciliation payments come through with the government that have supported farm income or to be soon to be coming. And then we in our area had a really good crop. The cautious part of that, that's really relevant as we move into and through spring, is we need to get a farm bill done. When you look at trying to operate a business on a one-year continuation or less than one-year continuation, it's very hard to make the right investments and decisions in those big businesses, certainly as it relates to the Federal Farm Insurance Program. And then another area that's really big on our minds is this trade and how and what impact that's going to have as we head into the spring. Certainly trade tariffs, but also exports, which change trade flows. So those are the, I would say, healthier, cautiously optimistic, but really kind of holding our breath because every day is a different scenario.
Well, without a doubt, as you look at the cooperative system, just in abstract, I mean, it's a system that has evolved to meet changing environment, a changing landscape. At its core, a group of farmers, in this case, getting together to say, hey, let's buy inputs, let's think about service together collectively. That early stage of a cooperative has really grown into what is now a multi-billion dollar business, a multi-billion dollar industry overall. Walk us through what's in the Keystone portfolio today, and really how has the role of the co-op changed over the last couple decades?
Certainly size, scale. One of the things when you think about the change over those decades and rolling that into the business units itself, you know, when I started in the business, the company I was one of the founders of this new now organization, you know, back 20, 30 years ago now, 85 million top line sales, about 80 employees. Keystone, which is a newly merged of these founding companies, is now $2.6 billion in top-line sales, 2,000 employees, just recently celebrating our one-year mark of that new entity.
Congrats.
And I would give a real strong shout-out to the employees. We moved a lot of cheese, so to speak, right? And they have been resilient. They're passionate. They're engaged. Have we had our challenges? Absolutely. But, man, they pulled through, came through, and we had a really good year. And we're starting into another great year. But As far as the business units goes, we have our energy division, which represents about 30% of that $2.6 billion. Refined fuels and propane, kind of uniqueness. Propane's the 17th largest propane company in the U.S. now, with over 80,000 home heats customers. So that's a really tactical business and challenges. I mean, you get to watch the weather and as it's moving, and then all of a sudden in 1 week, you go from 25 to minus 30. So it's a lot of work that those folks put in to manage that business. Our agronomy division represents about 40% of our business. It is all dealing with the farmer owners that we work with. We have crop nutrients, crop protection, seed, and then a growing space for us is the services side, especially as technology is integrated and evolving in the business. Our grain is really, we buy from our growers, and then we sell to processors, ethanol, and feed businesses. And then the final business that's been a really encouraging and growth-oriented space for us is our swine animal nutrition. And that's really cool because we've been able to vertically integrate. We didn't vertically, and the industry vertically integrated. We had a need to fill some areas for our growers, so we partnered with over 270 of our farms, and we either feed and manage or own the pigs. They provide the space, and it's a real good collaborative way for those farm operations to have cash flow, introduce a family member back through and into the farm. But that really makes up our business. The company's led by Kevin Still, our CEO, and has done a tremendous job in the time that he's been here, over three decades. I'll call him out on that. But he's really led the race car, or the race boat, or the speed train, whatever you want to say. It's been a real fast-moving pace and growth-oriented business. But I would say, coming back to that piece around what's really changed, is I was talking to somebody in the company, and they summed it up really well for me. Were we a product supplier, and we've migrated to a business partner? So as the businesses have become complicated, complex, the speed, the decision-making that needs to take place, we really play that role as a business partner in those operations and really look to support the businesses from all aspects, of which we're really fortunate when you think of those four core divisions, what we could provide holistically to that farm. So that would probably be the biggest change that we've seen. I think the other thing that as we move forward, we think around access to markets. How can we help provide that? And how can we support? And then another area that I'll call out our team internally is that amplifying the grower voice. Something that's really changed in a couple of decades is, you know, we all used to put our heads down and go to work. And when I talk about that interconnectivity, it's not just internally, it's from the consumer back to an acre of corn, soybeans, wheat, or a specialty crop. And how do we amplify that voice? And kind of a new area is this whole mindset around sustainability, regenerative farming. How do we enable our growers to have, again, access to market, help them migrate through the changes around those consumer needs? And it's an evolving marketplace, and we'll see where it goes in the future.
It's an interesting business. I've had a chance to spend some time with your team and even the board in really understanding these are, in some cases, I don't want to say competitors, but they're farmers that are raising crops. They're raising animals. They are selling into a market, but their ambition is united, right? How do we, to your point, how do we grow this economy? How do we increase the viability, sustainability, vibrancy of this whole? How have you seen that evolve? Just the growers themselves coming together in, these used to be very regional, if not small, independent companies. Now you have this juggernaut, to your point, largest privately held employer in Indiana, if I see the data correctly. This is a different business. It's a big business led by farmers. How has their engagement changed?
When talking to one of the board members, as we were having some recent discussions with them, I thought said it really well, is if you give us the why, the metrics, the measurements, and how it creates value, we're going to get out there and we're going to support you. And that's been a really positive, our board and the engagement with those, both the legacy boards and the new board as we've evolved as a company, they've been really leading that charge. They push us to get out there to look at the innovations. They want us to take calculated risk, but they want us to take some risk, knowing that not every time is it going to work out. But we want you advocating for our businesses. We want you looking for markets. So yes, they do compete, but aggregately as a farmer network, they look to the cooperative to be supportive of their farms and helping them to maintain that transition and succession to the next generation of family farms.
When you look at the gaps, you talked about the business units that are within inside Keystone. You've talked about the farmers themselves, your farmer customers, your farmer owners. What gaps do you see that Keystone is filling for them today? And maybe gaps that didn't exist even a decade ago that you're entering that space now.
The big one catchphrase word is technology. And when we look at our spend in technology, it's ever increasing. It's not going down. And as the opportunities, whether it's through integrating or embedding in the organization, AI enabling tools to drive efficiencies and synergies, it's a big spend. So we look at ourselves as being able to step into that space in particular and really be like the proving grounds on behalf of our growers in both some of those technology spaces, whether it's drones or automated. We're testing automated sprayers out there in the field right now. We're looking at a new whole generation of products that are coming in both around the plant health and soil health, and our agronomists and our teams in the field are testing those and looking at those to be able to provide rather than, and that's really the cool thing about that cooperative model is those growers own us. We work directly with them. They align with us as we get out there and test. And so we get that real time, real field activities. And then when you think about the technology space, getting into that real time decision and then moving really rapidly towards predictive because of the complexities of those farms and the speed at which they're operating and the amount of decisions. I think back to, as somebody told me, I don't know if it's a true or not, but it was a great analogy that says, you know, in a growing season, a farmer has to think about the 500 variables that impact their farm that year, but which 20 of those actually matter to yield or productivity that year. And I used to think, man, there's no way anybody's going to build that algorithm. And now we've got potentially quantum computing and the speed at which those things are able to crunch, diagnose, and provide insights is going to be an amazing opportunity as we move. And so how do we lead in that space on behalf of our growers, testing products, technologies, and services that continue to allow them to be successful?
We'll take a look at what the future looks like for Keystone and the broader cooperative system. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Phil Brewer, Vice President of Strategy for Keystone Cooperative. Phil, we've talked a lot about the evolution of the cooperative system of your specific company and Keystone. And we have seen a lot of consolidation. We've seen a lot of consolidation of farms. We've seen a lot of consolidation of input providers. You yourself, Keystone, is a benefactor of consolidation. And just a year ago, bringing these companies together, is you look at all this consolidation, there's lots of turbulence that gets created around it, but there's also a lot of opportunity that gets created around it. Where do you see that the cooperative system, maybe even Keystone, needs to move quicker to capture some of that market opportunity to ultimately deliver value back to the farmer?
One of the things when you look operationally and we think about what we have been and where we have been, you think about a location or an asset and changing that and transitioning to understand that our growers are now farming a very different geographical range than what we've historically seen them doing, and they're continuing to expand. So how do we think more around not the asset, but a hub and spoke, and providing services across a footprint in a geography that enables them to have the same experience across multiple different areas? So investing in the ability to service needs, service like in the crop protection space, how do you load and go quicker with them? And then how, if they load here and then want to go over here, how does that experience align with them so that they can get their job done quicker and have the same look and feel? So that's a big area. I would tell you too that, you know, when you start to think about the automation, the technology in the application machinery and in the decision making, it's going to take a really different sophistication of the sales force. How do we maintain that pace? How do we bring new talent in?
Yes.
That then it used to be we had a curve that enabled maybe 2 to 3 years before they really took ownership of an operation. And now that curve is 6 months, 8 months. So how do we bring them on, bring them up to speed? And we've started and we're looking at onboarding opportunities. We've created a really cool program of creating a pipeline of talent through what we call our seed program and bringing kids in, students into the skilled force that are able to work with us for about a 12-month period of time to bring them up to speed before we ever put them out in front. So how do we continue to do that? And then recognizing that that workforce of the future isn't necessarily directly involved with agriculture. So how do we attract that, what would be that suburban, urban, non-ag individual to show them the exciting opportunities in the ag business? Another area, and we've talked about this a lot at times too, but certainly transparency. How do you get that transparency across the business units? And then how do we think of that in terms of not segment buying, but today these people that are coming up digital natives, as they use the term, I'm not sure I know what that means, but that's one that I've heard. But, you know, they operate with either a phone or a computer, and they can live in a 24/365 environment. So if I need something, I get it. How do we transition into that mindset where we have a 24/7 perspective on these growing farm enterprises and the needs and the services and the products they want to buy from us? So those are areas that we're investing in and evaluating and trying to move forward quickly because we can't get behind that curve.
It's something that size and scale makes possible, right? Because you have more size, more scale, you can invest more dollars even at the same, if you keep the percentage level the same, more dollars are generated. One of those areas that I know you've spent time in, you and I have worked on together, is early stage companies. How do you incubate? How do you accelerate? How do you bring these novel technologies to growers across the Midwest? As you look at the current challenges that your customers are facing, the ag economy is facing, how are you thinking about working with small companies, early stage venture-backed companies?
Point that you brought up that's really key is that was another reason that we looked and saw the need to merge and to continue to grow. Because when you look back just 5 years ago, there were four entities that are now one, right? And would we have been able to have the capacity or the dollars or the willingness to take the risk that we would today? That's a big deal that happened for us. So we're learning that in our first year of what can we do? What can we provide? I think somebody I know named Mitch said, how can we become an enabler? And then what
smart
role do
guy.
We play?
Really
yeah,
smart
really
guy.
Smart guy. There you go. Won't argue. No. But the fun thing there is I would boil it down to 5 or 6 things that we really look at because there are a tremendous amount of opportunities that come at us now. But is it in our lane? Another important thing is because of the size and the needs that we have, is it scalable? A third one, is it a problem worth solving or a solution looking for a problem? And then we think about it in terms of when you think about those founders in those business, do we believe in what they're telling us? And having trust in that founder to be able to execute, does it diversify or vertically integrate or drive efficiencies in our business? And really the last one, and probably the most critical, is does it matter to our member owners or does it create value to our member owners? And so those would be kind of just a pretty broad painted brush, a lot of detail embedded in that, but that's really kind of how we're looking at that. But I think the key is our ability and our risk appetite to step in, whether it's VC, scale up, startup, in those spaces, is we're kind of dabbling in each of those now, where maybe before it would have been scale up or we're just a customer of a new startup.
Well, you have a beautiful opportunity. I mean, one that is really unique to Keystone is go to market. I mean, all these early stage companies, even some of the scale up companies, one of the greatest challenges is actually getting in front of farmers. And your farmers need some of those solutions as they battle a really turbulent global economy. And the innovators need to get to those farmers. And I think you play a really interesting role. Time for one more question as we think about this is, as you go to Kevin, go to the exec team, you go to your board, what are the measures? I think understanding the measures in which you use to guide your focus on these early stage companies could be really helpful for those entrepreneurs listening. Thing of, gosh, how do I work with Keystone? Let's flip the whole thing around. What are your measures of success for these early stage companies?
I'm going to jump on a little thin ice here because, you know,
like
we have some other folks that spend a lot more time in really that measurement and looking at. But broadly stating is, does it do what they say it's going to do? And so that's kind of a broad statement. But we know that there's market forces that will change. We understand that we make assumptions and the timelines change. But are they really progressing? And is it doing what they stated it was going to do? And do they have a team in place to actually execute it? And then does it create a value for and an opportunity that has profitability and growth at the end of the day? And I know that's maybe a little bit broad, but it's really thinking through, do you trust them? Can they execute? Do they have the capacity to scale? And then do they have a runway that's realistic? And then when we think back through is, again, I think the big thing is one of the companies that we're working with in grain right now, I think the beautiful way that they approached it was, instead of having a mindset of we have an idea and we think we can solve this, go build it. They spent over 18 months interviewing farmers, grain elevators, and people that would actually potentially use this to capture insights that they may not have assumed appropriately. What's that been able to do? It's been able to then build a product that was readily accepted. And when we, as a leadership, were maybe looking at it and saying, I don't know if this is it. But then we went out and put it in front of our originators, and they're like, I need that yesterday. That was a brilliant way to think about how to bring a product online. It takes a little bit of time. It has a little bit of investment, but it sped them to adoption and ability to scale much quicker.
It's something that you and your team can uniquely do, back to size and scale. Phil Brewer, Vice President of Strategy at Keystone Cooperative. Phil, just a delight to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mitch, and I enjoy it.
Thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And while there, don't forget, check us out online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.